The elders have requested that we spend some time talking about, I'm just going to say more broadly, 9th and Main's evangelism program, some of the things that we're trying to implement or put in place. Last Sunday morning, I did a class closing out our theme, I Believe God, as it relates to Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. So I don't want to take all of tonight to repeat what I said last Sunday. If you weren't here for that, I believe it's recorded online if you want to go listen to it. But I'll make just a couple of highlights, summary comments from what we discussed last Sunday morning. And that is, to begin, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16 through 20, we read the following. It says, "And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" We call this the Great Commission. It's actually found in two other books, found in Mark 16 and Luke 24. And it's interesting because we just started studying the book of Acts this morning. When you think about it, Acts is just a continuation of the book of Luke. In fact, the book of Luke covers the first 30 years of Christ's life. The book of Acts covers the 30 years after Christ. It is the Great Commission playing out, his disciples taking the gospel into the whole world. And we discussed that the Great Commission applies to us even today. It was not just to the apostles. It was not a one-off. We see their disciples going into all the world and taking the gospel. Acts 8 and verse 4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." And so we need to take God's commands seriously. Now, I gave you some statistics last Sunday on how we've been doing, and I had some feedback that maybe a little better to visualize some of those. And so if we go back to the year 1906, there was actually a major split in the late 1800s regarding the Missionary Society and instrumental music. And this split produced the denominations today known as Disciples of Christ and the First Christian Church. And after that split, there was only about 100,000 members of the Lord's Church in the United States of America. So in 1906, the population of the U.S. was about 85 million. There was about 160,000 members of the Lord's Church. That represented one Christian for every 535 non-Christians. Fast forward 40 years. The Lord's Church has now grown in the U.S. to about 682,000. That represents a ratio of one Christian to 207 non-Christians. By 1973, 2.5 million members of the Lord's Church. It's been said around that time in the 40s, 50s, 60s that the Lord's Church was one of the fastest growing religious bodies in the United States. And we got to a high point. One Christian for every 84 non-Christians in the United States. Beginning in the 80s, late 70s, this starts to reverse course. By 1980, it's one Christian for every 183 non-Christians. By 2000, it's one Christian for every 222 non-Christians. 2015, 2019, latest statistics I have, it's one Christian for every 300 non-Christians. I don't have specific numbers for here in San Angelo, but best is what I could probably guesstimate was around 1980. The San Angelo population at that time was roughly 80,000. There was about 1,500 members of the Lord's Church. Using that pretty loosely today, we're probably good to be approaching 1,000 members of the Lord's Church here in San Angelo. And of that, we have about 100,000 to 120,000 in the greater San Angelo area. So we've seen the decrease even here in San Angelo. Now, on a good note, 9th and Main, when I started attending here mid-2000s, our goal was to have, 30 people, I think, on a Wednesday night. I think we're doing good to have 50 to 60 members on a Sunday morning. Nowadays, we can range from 110 to 130 on some Sundays. In fact, this morning I counted how many empty pews we had, not counting the front pews, just pews that had no one sitting in them. And there's only 3 pews in the auditorium that were empty. That's good. That's encouraging. But we cannot allow that to stop us. Broadly speaking, the church is in decline, and we need to rediscover our roots. That is what we see in the first century, what the people, what the first Christian church, first century church in Acts was doing. They were evangelizing. They were growing. They were growing rapidly, in fact. And I was thinking about some of the reasons why things have reverted course. Of course, there's many reasons for this. I gave some last Sunday. We're losing many of our children to the world. Additionally, we're not having as many children. But also, we are not evangelizing like we used to. And one reason I thought was perhaps members of the church have forgotten the joy of being a Christian. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Think about the analogy of grandparents for a second. How many of you know that Brother Mike and Evelyn Bonner are now grandparents? Raise your hand. In fact, I believe Mike was very adamant about letting everyone know he was the first to know before Evelyn when their grandbaby came. And additionally, I think it was pretty close after that. I have received pictures in a group text from him. I'm sure many of you have seen pictures of their grandchild. So think about that for a second. Why was Mike so emphatic about showing everyone his new grandson? It's because he had the joy of being a grandparent. If we could emulate that same joy as it relates to being a Christian, I mean, go back and think about when you first obeyed the gospel and came out of the watery graves of baptism. If you had that same joy of being a Christian, we could take Jesus to the whole world. But we're not doing it. We need to understand the difference between church growth versus church swelling. Say our average attendance on Sunday morning is 100. Life expectancy in the U.S. is 80 years. That means we lose approximately 1.2 people every year, or 6 people every 5 years, which means roughly this congregation has a life expectancy, if you count for the skewedness in ages, new births, etc., about 40 years before, use business terminology, this congregation goes out of business if we don't evangelize and at least replace the natural attrition rate that we experience. So this is why it's so imperative to be evangelizing and teaching the lost. I want to share with you one more thing before we get into Angelo Bible study. And this is a figurative story that I came across a number of years ago that really stood out to me regarding forgetting the love of Christ and what it means to be lost. And I just want to share it with you. It says, there was a woman named Mary who had a terrible nightmare. Her friend Martha was facing God on Judgment Day. And Martha had written a letter back to Mary, and this is what that letter said. It says, "My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day, but never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on the earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. I learned now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, yet you never showed me the light. You let me live in love and die, yet never will I live on high. Yes, I called you a friend in life. I trusted you through joy and strife. Yet on coming to the end, I can no longer call you my friend." How many of you have ever had the experience, someone you knew in life, that you did not make it a point to teach them the gospel? You allowed the excuse of, well, they're a friend, I don't want to offend them, I don't want to scare them away, to prevent you from reaching them with the gospel. We cannot allow that. We have to change that attitude. We have to become a congregation that is evangelistic mindset, has an evangelistic mindset in everything that we do. And there was a movie I saw a number of years ago. It was called, hang on, my notes. You may have seen this movie called Pay It Forward. It was about a young boy. He was given a class assignment on how to make a difference. And he basically thought, if I could help 3 individuals, get them up on their feet where they could then in turn help someone else, and then just keep that momentum going, paying it forward, well, then we could help a ton of people. And I thought about that concept as it applies to evangelism. If we started with just one person who shared the gospel with one additional person, got them to the point that they could then share the gospel with another person, well, quickly that would start to multiply. 2 would become 4, 4 would become 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. And quickly, the church would rapidly grow. If you took our numbers today at 9th and Main, around 100, and we all got on board with evangelism as a congregation, we could double in a year fairly easily. I mean, maybe we don't double. Maybe we get a 10 or 20% growth. Still, those numbers compounded over time, it's exponential. Grows rapidly. And that ought to be our goal here in the San Angelo area. So I want to share now what the elders specifically have asked me to share. We're going to do it both tonight and the following Sunday evening. And Tobias is going to join in at the end of this and talk about some things he's been working on as well. But we're working towards an evangelism program for 9th and Main. And next February, we have Brother Rob Whitaker coming, who's going to be doing an evangelism seminar. It's through the House to House School of Evangelism. We're going to get signed up on that. And I'm going to tell you more about that in just a moment. But what I want to spend the next couple of minutes doing is sharing with you Angelo Bible Study. What is Angelo Bible Study? Because I realized the elder shared, you know, we've talked about this, but we've never really showed the congregation what Angelo Bible Study is. And I'm just curious, by show of hands, how many of you have been on angelobiblestudy.com? Okay, good, good. A little better than I was afraid it might be. So that's good. It's encouraging. I'm going to walk you through what Angelo Bible Study is, some of the ways that we're using Angelo Bible Study to reach out into the community, and hopefully better educate everyone here on how you can use it, not just as an evangelism tool, but also as a tool for edification, a tool for self-study, because it's more than just evangelism, even though that's the primary purpose. So I'm going to walk you through, to start with, the website. This is the homepage. It's fairly simple. If you scroll down, you'll see three main videos that we have on here, three main themes for whoever lands on our website. First one dealing with, is there a God? The second one dealing with God's plan for saving man. The third one with, where do we go when we die? And I haven't been through the class, but the way we modeled this has a lot to do with the Fishers of Men program and the three questions I believe you ask. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a God? What's my purpose in life? Where do I go when I die? Did I get it right? Close? That's a general idea. Is Jesus God? Okay. That was a general idea of how when we created this website. But stepping back, if you come to the landing page, you see several tabs up here at the top. Home page, which we're on right now. Topics, we'll go over this at last. I'm going to start over here at Contact Us page and just jump each tab one by one so you can see what's on the website and better how to use it. At the bottom of every page, I should also say, is a call us and contact us, a phone number and email address. If you call this phone number, Tobias is the one, and I believe Ryan too, but primarily Tobias, who gets these phone calls, as well as if someone emails in. And we've had people call in. We've had Bible studies set up over the past year through this, through a number of avenues that I'll cover. So beginning with the contact us page, or I'm sorry, I got out of order, the About Us page. About Us page just gives a general disclaimer. Says, thank you for visiting Angelo Bible Study. This website was set up as a resource for anyone seeking to learn more about God and His Word. Material found on this website is non-denominational and seeks to teach and educate people about the Bible. The content on the site can be broken down into two main categories, books of the Bible and topics related to the Bible. Material is generally presented in both written and video formats, depending upon preference. Please check back periodically for additional information that is added. One thing you'll notice, we've tried to keep just the title, Church of Christ, out of the website. And that's intentional. We used Angelo Bible Study generically because we don't want anyone to be necessarily turned off if that's the first thing that they see. Not that it's hard to figure that out very quickly going through the site. Come to the Contact Us page. Again, we'll just disclaimer if you have questions or interest in a personal Bible study. Again, we have a phone number and an email address. Then we have an additional resources page. If you scroll down, we list links to six different websites, mostly associated with the church. First one is Apologetics Press. They have material related to defending your faith. And a lot of the written material that we have on this website comes from Apologetics Press, so we link to them to give them credit. World Video Bible School is responsible for most of the videos on our website, and so we give them credit by linking. as well as the Gospel Broadcasting Network. Lastly, a couple other resources. Blue Letter Bible, it's a good way to look at the Greek or different translations. Christian Courier, that's Wayne Jackson's website, good commentary. Unfortunately, they do not allow you to reproduce their information, otherwise I'd love to use some of the articles written there. I know Brother Mike has referenced Christian Courier and Wayne Jackson's work in lessons before. And then House to House, Heart to Heart, and that's who Rob Whitaker is associated with when he comes in February. So coming to the Topics tab, you click the Topics, there's three different subcategories you can click on. I'm going to start with the bottom, Books of the Bible. Dave Miller, the former director of Apologetics Press, actually gave us complete copyright to reproduce his entire summary of the Bible. You are probably familiar with Know Your Bible by Frank Dunn. That has recently, a few months ago this year, been released to be distributed. And so we're actually hoping later this year to get that up on the website as well. But for now, we have Dave Miller's brief summary of the Bible. And if you were to click on the Old Testament, what you'll see is a drop-down list. And it has every book of the Bible listed. And I personally find this helpful, even when I'm sitting in class or a sermon, like when we're going through the Minor Prophets. Sometimes you come to a book you haven't studied very much in a while. And it's good to get a quick synopsis of where does this fit in throughout the entire Bible timeline, what's the overall breakdown and the key themes expressed in that book. So for example, here's Jonah. It gives a summary, a quick outline, the four chapters in Jonah, and what is the central theme, the central message being taught from Jonah. And that's for every single book. Here's Acts, a little bit longer, so a little bit longer of an outline. But again, this is a tool, a resource that I personally utilize, and hopefully you can utilize too. It's not just evangelism, it's also edification. Coming to the next tab, coming up, Christian Evidences. Come to Christian Evidences, you'll see these eight boxes for different topics. Everything from the deity of Christ to inspiration of the Bible, predictive prophecy, scientific foreknowledge, creation, evolution. And we try to, in each of these categories, give a breakdown of video and article. So if you click on the existence of God, here's six different video series or individual videos dealing with the existence of God, refuting atheism, dealing with the problem of evil, pain, and suffering. And if you were to click on the Answering Atheism, for example, there's six videos in a series that Kyle Butt has done dealing with things like the moral implications of atheism, evil, pain, and suffering, biblical view of women, loving God, eternal hell, the Bible, and slavery. Attacks that you consistently see from atheists that they use against the Bible, here's where you can get really good answers to refute those. But we also have articles as well. The moral argument for the existence of God, the teleological, fine-tuning, seven reasons to believe in God, and so forth. Here's what the seven reasons to believe in God article looks like. It's very in-depth. It has illustrations throughout it. So, how would you use this? If you're talking to someone in the secular world who's an atheist or a skeptic, agnostic, you can give them an Angela Bible study card and tell them, here's some resources for you to check out that give you evidence for why we should believe in God, why we should trust the Bible. You don't always have to have a full in-depth response then and there. You're not always going to. And that's why we have a resource like this that's local that can be handed out and utilized, also for self-study. If we come to the last tab, Bible topics, see there's nine different topics listed here. Salvation, worship, the church, is there a God, marriage and the home, false doctrine, end times, morality, heaven and hell. I'll highlight the middle one, marriage and the home. And you'll see that we have edification dealing with a Christ-centered marriage, a Christ-centered family. Those series done by Glenn Colley. But also the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or raising godly kids. So these are things that, well, I'll give you an example of how I use it just this last week. I was visiting with a client in Big Spring, and they asked me a question, just they're members of the church, and asked me a question about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Well, I gave them an answer there, but I also gave them an Angelo Bible study card and said, hey, we have a great video here. You ought to go check that out. About 2 weeks ago, a friend was messaging me regarding, this was just through text, about some conversation we had regarding modesty and nakedness. And so I shared with him the link to the subject on morality. It has a video there from Don Blackwell, The Truth About Modesty. Okay? Now, is that what I'm trying to get him to necessarily? No, but I'm getting exposure to a bunch of other things on Angelo Bible Study, and I took advantage of the opportunity that presented itself. That's how you use this website. You can text it. You can post the content from here on Facebook or other social media platforms. You can share cards, tell people individually. And that's what we're going to talk about next. How are we using Angelo Bible Study to get into the community, specifically the community of the Concho Valley? Before I go any further, any questions or comments? Okay. Yes, sir.
I must admit, this is offering more than what I even thought. I mean, I've been through it, but the way that you're presenting it, it makes it more appealing. I'm just telling that, like, this is exactly what we need to be doing.
You know, it's interesting. When I moved North Houston, I was looking for a congregation. I called one. I talked to the secretary, and their website was kind of vague, and I was just trying to kind of peg her on, you know, where are y'all connected in the brotherhood? And so I asked her, I said, you know, if you had a Bible question, where are some of the resources, places you would go? She said, well, I would just ask our preacher. That's kind of a scary thing. Of course, obviously, our first resource should be the Bible. Go to the Word of God and study it. And it's fine to ask a preacher, other brethren. But we need to have additional resources that we can go to help us in our studies. And a lot of times people don't know where to go, even in the church. And so this is really what this is. It's a collection of resources from different sound brotherhood resources that we're trying to utilize in a local fashion. Now, how are we getting this out into the community? Well, the first and probably the most prominent is through Facebook. I'm just curious, how many of you have been on the Facebook page of Angelo Bible Study? Okay. How many of you see material, if you haven't been to the page, how many of you have seen ads pop up from Angelo Bible Study? Good, several. So if you come to the Angelo Bible Study page, here's how it works. At the home page, at the top, you see there's a call now button as well as a message button. If you call now, I guess you can call, I don't do Facebook, but if you hit the call now button, I guess if you're on your mobile app, you can actually call, and that pings to the number that Tobias monitors. If you send a message, which a lot of the ads that we run on here give you a prompt to message in, it's actually my wife who's the one who's now monitoring that. And her job is either to point them directly to the phone number or an email address if they haven't seen it already, or to conversate with them a little bit and try to get their information so that we can reach out to set up a Bible study. And we have been effective with this. Doesn't mean everyone who messages in results in a Bible study or a good contact, but we have some Bible studies going on right now, in fact. Several, I believe, that are a result of the ads that we're spending here. We're not spending a ton of money in the grand scheme. About $250 to $300 a month is what we've been spending, and probably about to ramp that up as we really get the groundwork laid here. Drop down a little bit on this page. You'll see again the phone number, the email address, as well as a link to the website. Here's an example of a recent post, a video by Kyle Butt dealing with evolution, Charles Darwin, and his view towards women. We try to post shorter content videos along with just simple graphic images of encouraging verses, things that hopefully people will see in their feed, they'll like, and they'll share, and just drive additional viewership to Angelo Bible Study. That's the end goal. I want to give you a couple examples of things that we've done in post. First one here, this is an ad that Aaron Gallagher, who preached for us a few months back, I believe on the book of Joel, he filmed this ad just for us, and this video doesn't have the overlay with Angelo Bible Study information, but he filmed this, and then we overlaid the Angelo Bible Study information and advertised it quite heavily, I believe, last year in the first part of this year.
Stop scrolling. Give me 20 seconds and give that thumb a little rest. Have you ever wondered why you're here, what your purpose in life is, why all this is around you and what you're supposed to do with it? You know, I got good news for you. There is a God that loves you, that created you, and He left a message for you. It's called the Bible. The Bible's a big book. Maybe you want to learn more about it. If so, we'd love to help you. Please reach out, send us a message, and let's talk.
And so the ad we ran actually had the Angelo Bible Study logo and printed over it along with the email and phone number. We've also been running these ads, a new series that GBN has been working on called Drawn Toward God. And I'm just showing you some of these because hopefully what I want the congregation here to do, if you're on Facebook is go like, follow Angelo Bible Study, but then take the content, like it, and share it. Because if you like it and share it, that helps distribute it into the San Angelo community. And it's like a spider web. The more people are interacting with it, the bigger the web. The bigger the web, the more flies you catch. It's a really simple concept. I want to share with you one more video. This is, again, one that we've shared, had a lot of interaction with from the Drawn Toward God series.
Do people today have to be baptized in order to be saved? It's a great question. To begin with, there are some pretty simple passages in the New Testament that appear to teach that this is the case. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus himself said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the apostle Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." The apostle Paul was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Acts 22 and verse 16. The passages which teach and require baptism for salvation are clear and abundant, but what about the thief on the cross? When presented with passages such as these, a very common objection is that the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, but he was saved, so I must not need to be baptized in order to be saved either. Well, let's examine this question together. The crucifixion of Jesus took place on Calvary's Hill, a place called Golgotha. He was hung on a cross between two thieves, a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Early in the day of the crucifixion, both of the thieves insulted Jesus and mocked him. But as the day progressed, one of the thieves had a change of heart and said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responded, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus clearly gave assurance to this thief that he would be saved. He would go to paradise. But wait, what about the commandment to be baptized? Jesus himself said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Is a thief proof that a person doesn't really need to be baptized in order to be saved? What's going on here? First, it's important to realize at this point, the baptism of Christ was not yet in effect. What does that mean? At the time Jesus had the conversation with this thief, it would be over 40 more days before Jesus would utter the words of Mark 16, 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And it would be another 10 days after that before the baptism of Christ was actually practiced for the first time in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the day that the church began. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 teaches that when a person is baptized today, he is buried with Christ by baptism into his death. The thief couldn't have been buried with Christ into his death because Christ hadn't died yet at the time he spoke to the thief. To make it plain, the thief on the cross never became a Christian. He was saved and died under the Old Testament Jewish system, the law of Moses. This was in effect for the Jews from its beginning at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, all the way up until Acts chapter 2, when the New Testament, the law of Christ, finally came into effect. Since the command to be baptized into Christ is part of the New Testament law, it didn't apply to the thief on the cross, just like the laws of another country don't apply to you. Here's another thing. In Mark chapter 2, we learn that while Jesus was here on earth, while he was alive, he could forgive people as he wished. But what about after he died? After he died, his will, or testament, went into effect. And the only way that we can be forgiven today is by complying with the terms of his will, which we call the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 expounds upon this. A testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. For example, let's say that you have a lot of money. If you wanted to give some to a friend or a stranger, could you? Yeah, easy enough. But what about after you died? How could you give money to people then? By leaving a will. And if people follow your will and you said to do this or that, they could get some money too. Why? Because a will or a testament is in force after men are dead. We do this all the time, and it's the same way with Jesus. While he was alive, he could simply give out forgiveness as he wished, like the thief on the cross. But after he died, forgiveness is only given by the terms of his will, the New Testament. And it states, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." When a person understands that the command to be baptized came after the thief's lifetime, the thief lived and died under the law of Moses. He never became a Christian. And finally, that Jesus' death ushered in his New Testament law then the question about whether we can be saved like the thief on the cross is settled. We can't be saved like the thief on the cross, any more than we can be saved like Noah. Building a boat won't save any of us. But we can be saved like the people in Acts chapter 2, or like the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, or like the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, or like anyone else who has lived during the law of Christ. If we want to be saved today, it has to be by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ Jesus, and being baptized in water for the remission of our sins. If you'd like to learn more, please reach out to us. We'd love to open up.
So that's a series that GBN has started producing as of last year. They've had a ton of success with it through Facebook and YouTube. Here's an example of one of those videos that we advertised. You can see we didn't put a ton of money behind this, but it generated 71 likes or hearts and over 26 or about 26 comments and 20 people shared it. That's what we're trying to do when we advertise these, and this is when we start to see people messaging in and generating conversations, which leads to prospects, which leads to Bible studies. I also want to show you all that because that's the type of quality material we're trying to put out there, and I hope you will go engage with it and then share it. Show it to your network. Also add that these are not on the Angel Bible Study website today, but there are plans in the future. More of these are continuing to be rolled out. The Angel Bible Study website is not meant to be static. Eventually, we plan to expand and add to it. So that's Facebook. Any questions on Facebook? Yes, ma'am.
So you stated that this was locally for San Angelo, but most of the people on Facebook go outside of San Angelo. So what happens if you receive from somebody that's not in this area?
So when you run an ad, you get to localize it to a certain geography. Now, if you share it, someone can see it outside of San Angelo. But far as I know, we're happy to study with people either online. Now, that's the other thing. We don't just study with people in person. In person is preferred. That's the best way to study. I've been studying with a lady through Zoom for about the last month. It was easier for her because of her kids at home. And so I met her where she was at. Some people just want to do email back and forth. Again, not preferred. But if someone messages in from Michigan or somewhere, well, we'd probably try to find a sound congregation that in that area and pair them up with. Any other questions? Yes.
No, Facebook website as well. Did you find that people feel a little bit more at ease if they're just directed, at least initially, to some of these resources? They don't feel like they're being pressured by somebody. Is it something easier for the average person out there that maybe wants that information?
Yeah, and that's one of the goals is for Angel Bible Study to do a lot of legwork for us, and then we study it. So it's supposed to supplement. My personal opinion from, you know, research data, things that I've seen, is we've come into this digital world. I mean, Satan has really had his hands in here. Most of social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, I mean, there's plenty of warriors fighting for the cause of Satan, more prevalent, more so, than for the cause of Christ. And yet we're giving our young people these tablets and smartphones and giving them direct access to many of these resources unfiltered. And that's been going on for 20 plus years. How did they change their mind when living underneath the roof of mom and dad who believe in God and the Bible being true? Well, again, they had a passive way, an unfiltered way, and we're trying to combat that. We're trying to do the opposite because kids are on here, young people are on here, and they need to have the opposite showed to them, not just the attacks of Satan. Any other questions or comments? All right, other ways that we're trying to get Angel Bible Study out there is for one, the cards that have been mentioned. And we ordered about 4,000 of these or so. Cost to print these up was about a penny a piece, incredibly cheap. And I'll tell you how I use them. I usually try to put about 3 to 4 in my wallet every week. When I'm here, and that's my goal, is to put out 3 to 4. Congregation of 100, if everyone did that, took it serious, we would have been out of cards a long time ago. So I don't know how many people are taking that serious or understanding. That's one reason why we wanted to do this, was to better educate what Angel Bible Study is. On the back of the card is that email and phone number that gets directed to Tobias. So just because you hand it to someone does not mean that you're necessarily having to commit to a Bible study. I believe Mike told me recently your goal was to give out 100 by when?
The end of this month.
How are we doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. He told me to keep him in check. That's the goal. This is why we have them at the doorpost. So you can grab a handful every time you leave. And I don't know if Tobias, you've been filling up very often, but I don't have to fill them up very often. Just be transparent. So I hope by educating people, you'll start to really take them and pass them out. Let me tell you some ways I've passed them out. If you have some others, share them. I fill up my car usually at least once a week. And when I fill it up, I usually do it over at Sam's. And I stick a card in two places, actually. I'll stick one right here in the little sleeve in the corner, because I know someone will be pressing the buttons and have to see it. And usually there's a little ad space up here with a little slot that I can slide it into as well. There's two, one stop, non-invasive. I don't have to physically tell someone, hey, here's Angel Bible Study, here's what you can find, go check it out. I'm sure many of you go to the grocery store every week. You can hand one to the person across the counter checking out, or even if it's self-checkout, just leave one there. Someone will see it when they come by. Handing it to them directly is great, but you can also just set it right there at the front of the cashier. People see it when they come by. I'm sure many of us go out to eat on occasion. You can slip one in with your credit or debit card when you go to pay for the meal, or leave one on the table. Tobias and I were eating lunch at Rose's one day. Table next to us was, I saw them lead a prayer before they had lunch. Well, hey, they're obviously religious. There's an open invitation. They're not going to be hostile for, hey, here's a great Christian website in San Angelo to learn about God and defending your faith. You ought to check it out. Handed it to them. They took it. They were kind. Do they go look at it? I have no idea. But those are the type of opportunities we're looking for. Yes, sir.
I pass those cards out when I go to Sam's, H-E-B, or what have you. My wife's sitting there for groceries, and she wants my mom to stay in too long.
We're appreciative of that, Grandpa. Appreciative of that. You can stick them on people's doors, right there in the window, around the door handle and the windshield wiper, wherever else you think to pass them out. But really, they're so small and convenient. The idea is stick some in your wallet, stick some in your purse or in your car, and just have them readily available to hand and pass out. Again, they're only one penny a piece. It's not costing us very much to pass it out. It's a very cheap way to spread the gospel. And again, if the whole congregation gets on board with that, we can make a difference. We can really impact the community. Billboards. How many of you have seen an Angelo Bible Study billboard around town? Good, good. I've had other people say they've seen it. Now, I don't really have good data on how effective these have been, but I know people are at least seeing them. And I know we're at least spreading the message and people are seeing Angelo Bible Study. Here's two. These are rotating. They stay in one spot for 2 months and they go to a new spot. And then we have one that's stationary over on Knickerbocker, where Knickerbocker and Johnson Street intersect. And that one says, God said it, I agree, crossed out, that settles it. And I think Tobias has had several messages come in or emails just thanking us for the message and putting us out there. Didn't lead to a Bible study. But again, we're just trying to saturate the community and hopefully get leads that lead to Bible studies. T-shirts. Now, we're all familiar with T-shirts. We have a couple left in size, medium, large, and extra large. And I believe the elders, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're already paid for. We want people to start wearing them, getting out. So if you want to pay $10 and get one, put it in the collector's plate, that's great. If you'll just take one and start wearing it, come get one. If you have one and you could wear two per week, come get one. They don't need to just sit here on the pew. They've been sitting here too long. We need to get people wearing them. Other thing I'm going to say, it's not to call anyone out, but we need to wear them where the public will see them. Sunday nights or Wednesday nights might not necessarily be the right audience we're trying to target with Angel Bible Study. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm thankful for I've worn it here on a Sunday or Wednesday night too. Get a couple. You may be going somewhere else, and that's perfectly fine. But the emphasis or goal is to wear them where the public will be. If you'll notice, we wrote out the website Angelo Bible Study on the back of the shirt. The reason we did it was, let's say you go to a sporting event, a basketball game or somewhere. Hopefully that part will be sticking out over the top, showing across your back, and everyone sitting behind you would see it, or if you're in a grocery line or wherever. And so we have Angelo Bible Study logo on the front, angelobiblestudy.com on the back. And if these are going and they work well, we'll probably do more designs again in the future. Hopefully they've been comfortable shirts to wear. Tried to get softer t-shirts, a little higher quality t-shirts, so you'd actually like to wear them. More ideas. some things that have been bounced around and discussed. We've talked about trying to integrate an online study through Angelo Bible Study. I believe Josh, Jamie, and Leon, they kind of took this idea, approached Ryan and myself with it, and the elders were on board. So we're hopefully later this year going to contract with a guy to come in and professionally do some things on the website. And that's one thing we want to implement is a self-paced online study. Bumper stickers. We've tried these before. To my knowledge, I think Leon has the one remaining bumper sticker that I had. Still in his car. Leon, is that right?
Changed cars since then.
Let me see by show of hands. I haven't decided to order any more of these. If we order them, would you put it on your car and wear it? Raise your hand. It's okay if you wouldn't. Okay, so we probably have to order a small handful. The last one is door hangers. We've tried this a little bit. Idea like in the college kids' dormitories. I don't know if that ever really took place. But let me put what I want to say here is this. If you have an idea, come tell me. Come tell the elders. This is an evolving door. Angelo Bible Study today isn't what it was when it started out or when we tried it with some other congregation. It has evolved. It has improved. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to stay stagnant. We don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again if it's not producing results. So let me speak just a little bit, last few minutes here. I'm going to pass it on to Tobias more broadly about the 9th and Main Evangelism Program. February 4th through 6th, mark your calendars. Rob Whitaker from the House to House School of Evangelism is coming. And I've had the privilege of sitting through some of his seminars. Give you a little background. Rob Whitaker graduated from Southwest School of Preaching. He was a gospel preacher up in Tennessee in a little town called Willette. When he got there, that congregation was around 100 members. When he left, it was around 300 members. They did not grow because everyone was moving to this rural town in Tennessee. They grew because they had a plan and they followed the plan for evangelism. And what he realized was he could teach other congregations this very simple plan of growth. And for the last couple of years, he's gone around and done these seminars. He's about 180 congregations who've enrolled. And since that time, there's been over 2,300 baptisms. Year to date, about 735 baptisms. In fact, you can go on their website and register and get weekly updates from congregations who are doing this. This is the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant, where Chris Groda, former preacher here, now preaches. And I actually talked to Chris last night for about an hour, and he was telling me about the program, the success. They've been in it for about 2 years now. And they were a relatively small congregation. He would say they were a dying congregation. He was the only one doing Bible studies. And this is what he told me. He said before they did this program, they were doing good to get between 90 to 110 on Sunday mornings. Now they range from 120 to 150. On average today, they have about three studies going versus before they had one here and there. He didn't know how many contacts they've produced, but a bunch. And he said they've had at least 20 baptisms. Another congregation who has enrolled in this is Northern Oaks over in San Antonio. This is where Mike's daughter and son-in-law attend, correct? And they've had great success. Southwest Congregation in Austin, I texted John Garza yesterday to get an update on how they've done. Here's what he said. He said, since we've had Rob, last year we've had a total of 22 baptisms in the congregation. And with teaching back to the Bible at camp, we have had a total of 45 baptisms because of the work at Southwest. The congregation has been active and zealous because there is a congregational plan in place, but it's important to understand that a plan is only as good as those who see it through. Here it has been great because we have plenty of soul winners since the beginning, but we have had success. More and more have become zealous for the Lord and His kingdom. And as a result, many more have learned how to do personal Bible studies. It says, concerning the numbers, last year we were sitting around 200, but now we are averaging around 240 on Sundays. This is because of the new souls, but also many others have moved into the area desired to work with us. It said, in the past year we've had a constant flow of Bible studies taking place. I would say 5 to 7 each month. Just this year alone, 12 souls have obeyed the gospel. And so I'm just sharing this with you, hopefully to encourage you and to show that congregations are doing this method and they're having success. But you have to do it. I know of another congregation, I won't tell you the name of it. They had Rob come, and they just didn't do it. Are they seeing the results? Now, they're doing some other things, don't get me totally wrong, but they're not seeing necessarily the results that some of these congregations are seeing. Eisenhower over in Odessa. This is where Josh's dad preaches. They've been through it. Ask Josh how that's gone for them. But good things to say. What does this program look like? I'll let Rob tell it in detail when he comes, but essentially, it looks like putting evangelism at the forefront and focus of every aspect of the work of the congregation. If we're going to do something as a congregation, it needs to have an end goal of reaching souls. And really, it's about showing love and compassion towards those who are outside or lost so that their defenses, their guard drops, and you're able to reach them with the gospel. And it consists of using people who are bringers, teachers, and keepers. I think Mike made the point this morning. Not everyone is necessarily going to be comfortable to do a personal one-on-one Bible study. But you can still have a role in this program. You can still have a role in tilling the soil, fertilizing the soil, bringing people, or helping retain people. And so here's just a quick highlight. Some of the things that we'll be learning how to do. Card writing, helping those in need, getting people ready to conduct a study, using Back to the Bible, Believe the Bible. There's a New Movers program. I won't go into all those for details. I don't want to take too much from Tobias to share what he's working on. In fact, I'll just hold off some of that for next week to go through. But here's what I want to end on is this. One of the big things of Rob's program is card writing. And we're going to start doing this. We're going to give it a trial run next week. What does this look like? Well, if you will, during the week, either send me an email or send one to the church office to Tony, and then she can pass on to me. But we're going to need a name, a physical mailing address, and then a description of what is going on. Here's what we're trying to do. If someone is sick and you know they're not a Christian, we want to share with them 20, 30 cards to arrive in their mailbox over a week to make an impact. I mean, think about if that happened to you. Would it get your attention?
Yes.
Now, we don't just do that and stop. We then have a follow-up. And so if you're the one who provides that contact, then you and maybe take someone with you, one of the elders or deacons, there needs to be a follow-up. Check on them. See how they're doing. Can we do anything for you? Can we make you a meal? Can we do some yard work for you? What can we do to help you? And so we're going to provide the cards. We're going to provide the envelopes, the stamps, the pens, etc. So come prepared to be willing to write out cards. And it'll be a trial run. It'll be a work in progress. I'm sure it'll change as we go. But we're going to start practicing that next week. And we already have some cards in place. There's my email. Come ask me if you need it still. It's thegeoscienceguy@gmail.com. But my wife has actually been working the last week coming up with about 15 different card designs. And here's an example of one. Keeping it pretty simple. It has a scripture. And there will be different targets for the cards. Those who are sick. Those who maybe who just have been absent in their attendance. Those who just need uplifting and encouragement. And we can make more as we go. But we're going to be able to mass produce these and get the cost down about 12 cents per card. So that way we can be very economical in doing this evangelistic endeavor. Any questions or comments before I turn it over to Tobias to talk about the Christian development class? Josh. Yeah, any ideas like that, feel free to come talk. We have thought about it, but there's reasons why we haven't really gone that route. Yes, sir.
How are we going to do advertise our meeting? Is that mixed in with some of this?
I guess we have the flyer, but I don't think we've made any graphics to date for digital advertising. I haven't had that conversation.
Get some bumper stickers or something for that. Not go out and something.
I think there are some printout handouts. Maybe get with Tobias or Mike on that, because I'm not 100% sure. Any other questions or comments?
You have those flyers, and we are going to be passing those out for the gospel meeting, just so you know. Real quickly, yes, sir. Real quickly, turn to Matthew 28. We're going to look at that same exact verse. I'm literally going to pick up right where he left off. And to show God has always intended balance. We want to pick up with the evangelism, at least our efforts, our mindset. But we also want to keep in mind, you have evangelism, which is a great work of the church. But you also have edification, which is also a work of the church. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So once we go, we're going to be sending out those cards, getting them to Angela Bible Study, getting them hopefully maybe in Back to the Bible, maybe in Search for Truth. Whichever methods we can use, it has to be something after it. What happens after we go and they obey the gospel? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And one thing you'll notice here at 9th and Main, we want to follow God's design. Everything we do, we have to have a verse to back up what we do, whether it be the Lord's Supper, the collection, the preaching, even this evangelistic program. So after you baptize them, then what? What happens if you go out and bring a lot of people in and then you teach them to go out? Well, who's left to encourage those you went and brought in? And so we want to develop a Christian development class. This is not a new converts class. Here's the reason why. You can be in the Lord's church for a number of years and sometimes need a refresher, or sometimes need a reminder, or sometimes may have just never had a class. A new converts class is usually needed, but I don't want to limit it to new converts. The elders do not want to limit this to new converts. And I do want to emphasize, this is not something I came up with. This is just something the elders have already had in place, because they had the idea literally the year I got here, that this is going to work. And if it works, we're going to need somewhere to put them. And we've been literally working on this over the past year. And just some material I want to start off. The first one I would like to start off with is called Beyond Baptism. Some of you are familiar with this book because some of you have been having studies with some of us here. I won't call out any names. I'll just look at you. But Beyond Baptism is literally after you're baptized, we have a study on some of the things that are needed to be taught for new developing, I'm going to keep using that word, Christians, developing Christians. You can be in the Lord's church 10 years and still have work, still need some development. Many of us know that to be true without me even saying that. And so I would highly recommend, my wife has already said that she's going to be in this class if we do kick it off. But I want to present this to the congregation to let you know what we are doing. And that's one thing I love about 9th and Main. When we decide to do something as a congregation as a whole, they let you all in on it. They let us in. Like, even with the parking lot, they let us know what was going to be happening. Even with Brother Rob Whitaker coming in, he's not coming till next year, but you already have a heads up. You know what's happening. With this class, we want to begin it sometimes next year, but we want you to know that we're not just going to be getting you ready to go out and bring people in and then just leave them here. Once a person obeys the gospel, they become a babe in Christ. One thing I have seen, I don't know if you all have seen it here, if you take a baby and put them in an adult class, what do you expect would happen? Take a baby, put them in an adult class in college, what do you think would happen? Would they learn anything? Would they be lost? Would sometimes they be afraid to raise their hand because they have a question they think may be stupid or simple? There are no stupid questions. There are no too simple questions. But you have them in a room full of people who've been in the church for years, and you all are able to understand all this. Sometimes they feel left out. Sometimes they feel, what's the word I might want to use? Overwhelmed. And that can be discouraging. So with this class, we want to create an environment. You can ask all the questions you want. You can get all the help you need. And I do have, so far, I have three lined out books I want to look at. Beyond Baptism is just the first one. So it's going to be the same how we do Engraving Heavenly Truths each quarter. And then in the summer, there's that break. Well, I want this to be the same way. So how there's a college class, there's an adult class, there's a high school, middle school class, there will also be a Christian developments class going on the same time. So on Sunday mornings, when you go in the back to your different class, this will be one of the new classes. on Wednesday nights, when we go in the back to a different class, this will be one of the new classes. Any questions and comments?
That is shocking.
Is a hand? No. Okay. Thank y'all for your time. One thing I want to close with is John 15, 1 through 10. Not going to read it. I was once told that the moment a tree stops growing, it begins the process of dying. Keep that in mind. You have a question?
Next year. No particular date, but we want to have it in order set, already set, so that next year we have Rob Whitaker come in, he gets y'all ready to evangelize, we got the class already set up, ready to go. And again, this is not just for new converts. This is for anyone who wants to be developed in their faith, anyone want an environment where you don't feel overwhelmed or you feel free to get those helps, those questions. Right now, I will say this. There are some of the new converts who have already gone over back, beyond baptism. I will say, I will offer it too. If you would like to come in the class, it would be the same. You would start off going back to chapter one. It would be a good refresher. And then once we get into that second quarter, as I've offered this to you, Brother Giancarlo, if you don't want to come in quarter one, because you've already done beyond baptism, come in quarter two. Come in quarter three. And then we kind of want to keep it going. So like at least once a year or every 2 years, you will hit the same material at some point. The last one I want to do is how to study the Bible. You would be amazed at how many people don't study their Bible because they don't know how to. And I want to end with that one. So quarter one, beyond baptism. Quarter two is going to be a Christian development book, and I have two right now, kind of ciphering down, because it has to be 13 weeks. And then quarter three is going to be how to study the Bible. Because once, let's say you go through the whole quarter one, two, and three, we want to put you in a predicament where now you know how to fish. We're not just giving you the fish. Now you know how to fish. Now you know how to go and make more disciples. And bring them back, and then they start in that class.
Comments or questions?